Okay, going to get started right away. It's, as ever, a very full weekend, lots of stuff happening. We have a couple of Astoria High School representatives coming in. We have Tikkun Olam, that is, we're going to heal the world right here on KMUN today. And that's part of that is with books and with the Clatsop College Library and the Astor Library. And my first guest is Ruth Feldman. But before that, I want to send out a dedication and some music. Well, let's start with the music for, well, I don't think I need to tell you what this is for, do I now? Is Clifton Chenier live. I remember when I saw him in Portland. It was so exciting. And that is the Mardi Gras Zydeco. So, laissez le bon temps rouler, folks. It's coming up on Tuesday right here in our own little part of the world as well as New Orleans. As a matter of fact, in Cannon Beach, Sweet Basil's going to have music and special food, and you know how he does that good New Orleans cooking. So, right now, however, I'm going to transport you to a different time. How about this for years? 25th Kislev, 5725, and 25th Kislev, 4860. Now, that may sound like it's far in the future sci-fi. It's a little sci-fi-ish, but it isn't far in the future because those dates come from the Jewish calendar, which is a lunar calendar. You hear about that here on the holidays. My guest is Ruth Tenzer Feldman. She has a new book called The Ninth Day, and I am delighted to welcome you to KMUN. Hi.
Thanks. I'm delighted to be here.
All right. And you are indeed a KMUN virgin, although not a radio virgin. We want to make that clear. You've been on our sister station, KBOO.
That's correct.
Right. Okay. So when I'm talking those big numbers, what am I talking about in whatever calendar? What is the calendar we use? The Gregorian? No.
Yes. We
Gregorian? Okay.
Gregorian
calendar. What do you got for numbers on that?
Okay. Now, those numbers actually are the 4860 translates into 1099. And the 5725 is 1964. One of my favorite years.
Mm-hmm. And as they all say, I believe Judy Collins, I don't believe, I was there, I heard her say it. Judy Collins said it just last Saturday night right here in Astoria. She said, if you remember the 60s, you weren't there. That's not my story, though. I do remember the 60s because I was on the East Coast in college, and we were marching for this and that and against this and that, but we weren't flower children. So, and you seem to remember quite a bit about it, but this yours takes place in the heart of...
Yes. I was also an East Coast girl, so I must say this was not my experience.
Uh-huh.
This takes place in Berkeley, California, on the Berkeley campus during the free speech movement in 1964. This was really the first time that students from the left, students from the right, all over the political spectrum, really came out in protest against the university not allowing them free speech on campus. And this was an occupation of Sproul Hall that lasted about a day and a half. About 800 students were arrested. They were hauled off to jail. And it really shook up the country.
It sure did. It sure did. Now, when you say it was in response to the university, was that a sudden thing, though, or was it building up?
It was in fact sudden. There was always a little strip of land. I think it was about 25 feet long and maybe 10 feet wide, at the corner of Bancroft and Telegraph Avenue, where students were always allowed to set up tables and discuss politics there and have other students sign up for civil rights causes.
Mm-hmm.
Some thought it was part of the city of Berkeley, some thought it was part of the campus of Berkeley. And in September of 1964, the college president decided that this was part of the university land. And he didn't really like all of these hippie types to crowd the sidewalk with their protests.
So did he go to the board and get something passed?
He did. Mm-hmm. And they said, one, this is land that belongs to the university, and two, there will be political discussion on campus.
Fighting words.
Definitely fighting words.
Okay, now, that's one setting of this book. But this book, you know, as I was reading it, I must admit, have to jump back and forth sometimes because it does go into other worlds. And the other world, as you said, is 1099.
Yes.
Now, that is nothing to do with your taxes.
No.
You know, I realized, why does that number sound so familiar? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
No, this is what's going on there. That brings the
story together. This is the tail end of the First Crusade in Europe. And we have a girl from 1964, Berkeley, who time travels back with a magical prayer shawl. And on that shawl, it are the words that come from the Torah, tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, which means justice, justice shall you pursue. And in this time-traveling saga, she goes back to a time where, because of who she is in Berkeley and what her experiences are in Berkeley, she's able to help someone who is a young Jewish mother in 1099 Paris, whose husband, because of experiences between the Jews and the Crusaders during the First Crusade, is convinced that an angel has told him to kill his firstborn son.
So let's stop right there in terms of the details. What I'm curious is how much of this is based And what you just said there, how much of this is based, not the particular character, but what was going on there, on history that you've read, etc. Because we're gonna get into who the heck you are and why what are you doing writing something like this in a second, but
almost all of the background from what I have from 1964 and from 1099 Paris in this case is real. I wrote 10 nonfiction history books before this time.
Yeah.
And so I'm a fanatic when it comes to history. And then I had sort of an urge to lie, and those are my fictional characters. But they are part of the real world. I have just meshed the worlds together.
And that's why I said at the beginning, it's not futuristic, but it is a bit of sci-fi because you've got this girl able to time travel.
Yes.
And why did this appeal to you? What about both of these, the idea of this girl finding her voice, this
yes.
girl who has a strong stutter, finding her voice?
There were things about this girl in 1964 that I wanted her to confront. One is, what is she going to do? How is she going to step up to the plate in the free speech movement when she herself is so deathly afraid of speaking out loud? And it was sort of a way of explaining how we as individuals have to struggle with what we want to do to help the world or our families or our specific community mm-hmm. and what we think we can actually do inside. What are we really capable of?
And this girl is how old in the?
She's 16.
16. So she, in fact, is the younger sister of a university student. She
yes.
herself is pre-university. But boy, does she come out on top. I mean, it's a strong story. It's quite wonderful. Now, this is your second young adult novel, is that right?
Yes. The first is Blue Thread. It came out in 2012, and it was about the 1912 women suffrage movement in Oregon. Mm-hmm. Okay, and here's the brag moment,
yep.
world.
Thank you.
it won the Oregon Book Award for Young Adult Literature.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank
That's
you.
Very exciting. And your connection to the subject matter?
Oh, my. Okay. I come through this in several ways. First of all, as a child and through maybe my first 40 years of life, I had a pronounced stutter.
Mm.
And so finally trying to write about a character who has a stutter was something that has always been a challenge to me,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I'm Jewish. I see the world through a Jewish lens. That just happens to be the garden that I cultivate.
Is that in the first book as well?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
So the time traveler, mm-hmm. Serach, in the first book mm-hmm. is the same as the one in the second book.
Uh-huh.
She is the one that finds the girls that have this prayer shawl
mm-hmm.
that Serach, years and years and years ago, back in the Bible, we say, wove. Serach, in fact, is a biblical character. She is in the book of Genesis and the book of Numbers.
Hmm.
She's listed twice in the Bible. She's named Serach, the daughter of Asher, in two censuses that were taken. One was when the Jews came down to Egypt, and the other was 400 years later. So now who is this crazy lady? And when I first found out about her as I was reading through my Jewish studies, she just became fascinating to me, and I was determined to write something about her.
And so she set you up for this time travel, too, didn't she?
She did. So. She most certainly did.
And you mentioned that you had written nonfiction books. What, Ruth Tenzer Feldman? Who are you? We live in Portland. We only have another minute and a half. Now, can you put that into a minute and a half? You come from the East Coast, but you live in Portland now. What have you been doing for the last however many years?
Okay, I started out as a government lawyer in the Washington D.C. area. Decided that I really fell in love with the Pacific Northwest in about the 1990s. I finally got out here in about 2007.
Oh.
And, no, 2004, something like that. Whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at my husband. He's like, whatever. anyway.
We told him he couldn't talk.
Anyway, I fell in love with the Northwest. I'm delighted to be here, and when I am not writing, I am out finding Mount Hood and eating dark chocolate.
Oh, right. Sounds like fun. Hey, it is such a pleasure to have you here. The name of the book, the new book, is The Ninth Day, and the first book is Blue Thread. The author is Ruth Tenzer Feldman. And do you have a website?
Yes, it's www.ruthtenzerfeldman.com.
Okay, and Tenzer is T-E-N-Z-E-R. The rest is as it is. So thank you so much. Congratulations on both of these books and on finding the Pacific Northwest. That was very wise of you. So great.
Thanks
for coming
in.
Thanks, Carol. Okay, lovely. And I've got some music for you. And right now, this is a dedication to one of the finest flamenco players whom we just lost, Paco de Lucia, or Lucia. We didn't really lose him because his music is here. Thank you, Yosef. And thanks to Brian, and thanks to Kim. Kim will be devoting some of her show on the 7th, the World Music, to Paco. He's a favorite of Kim and Yosef, two of our programmers. Yosef will also play some. But they lent me a CD, and I would like to share this with you right now. And say adios, but thanks for all the good music. He was only 66. KMUNS Dorian, KTCB Tillamook. Paco de Lucía, and we'll hear some more of his music in a little bit. But right now, I wanted to introduce my next guests from Clatsop Community College Library and Friends of the College Library. I have Candace Watkins, who is librarian. Well, I'll let her tell you her title. I can't keep track of all the titles up there. What is your proper title?
My proper title is Library Director.
Well, that is okay. Then I was right. I just didn't want to give you too much credit, but you get it. You get
okay,
it.
Okay, I'll take
and
it.
And Lori Kaplan is here because she is part of the Friends of the College Library. Is that right?
That is.
Good for you. And they are here because March Mystery Madness is coming up on the 6th and 7th of March. And that is Thursday and Friday. So we wanted to get them in here right now because they have all kinds of events going on. Tell us, what does this mean, March Mystery Madness?
Well, it came about, our friends group was sort of batting some ideas around probably about 9 months ago, and they said, you know, it'd be a lot of fun. We have some great mystery writers in the state of Oregon. It'd be a lot of fun to do a mystery week or something like that. And so it sort of just came together, and we contacted some mystery authors, and they agreed to come and speak. And so Bill Cameron will be our first speaker on March 6th. And he'll be speaking at 6:30 mm-hmm. at the Performing Arts Center. And he's written a number of mysteries. And Lori, do you have a list of those?
I do. He's written County Line, Day One, Chasing Smoke, Lost Dog, and a bunch of short stories that have also been published.
And where does he live?
In Portland.
In Portland, yeah. Okay.
And his book, County Line, it received the Spotted Owl for Best Northwest Mystery in 2012.
The Spotted Owl, I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So
good.
He should be a dead ringer.
Okay.
I know. That was pretty
quick.
That was clever. No, I swear I did not plan that.
Okay. So that is at 6:30 to 8:00. Now, aren't
right.
you having an open house
yes.
at the library, though, earlier yes. in the day?
Yes, we are. So to precede that, we will have an open house from 3 to 5 p.m. at the library. And Lori, do you want to tell a little bit about that, since that's showcasing the Friends,
yes.
some of the Friends' work?
I think what a lot of people don't realize is what a fabulous library the college has. And mm-hmm. so one of the things that the Friends of the College Library want to do is make sure that everyone in the county knows this is their library, too, as well
right.
as the college library.
Yeah.
And it is so focused on meeting student needs and staff needs, but also we want people to know that it's open, and Candace can tell details about how people can get involved. But this open house is 3 to 5. It's open to everyone to come to look around, to see the new arrangements, mm-hmm. Physical arrangements in the library. Books are different. There's more seating. There's work areas. And there is a fabulous view from the second floor.
Oh, yippee.
Yes.
Well, you know, I want to pitch in on that one because as a person who lives in East County, we don't get much play on libraries, and the mm-hmm. college library is great. Not only do we have access, but we also can order interlibrary books, and
you bet,
it's
yeah.
fantastic.
So anybody
service.
Can become a patron
yeah.
of the library. It's really yeah. cheap, $5 for 3 months or 20 yeah. bucks a year. So
okay,
yeah, come on
so
up.
So now that is on Thursday. On Friday, you have more.
We do. There's a great Portland webcomic titled Bucko, and it was created by Erica Moen and Jeff Parker. Erica's the artist, Jeff is the writer, and they're going to come and speak at the Astoria Public Library. They have a great series of speaking events called After Hours,
right.
and so they will speak from 6 to 8 at the public library.
Okay, and so I didn't have that time down. So that's 6 to 8 on Friday. Mm-hmm. And are there other things going on at the college with the students, or did you just bring these people in for the community?
It's really just we're bringing these authors in for
great.
Some fun speaking events.
Excellent.
And part of it, too, is that the Friends are kind of behind increasing the popular collection, so the non-academic collection.
Oh, yeah.
So we thought, well, what would appeal to people? And it was mysteries, of course.
Exactly.
But there is a growing popular book collection as well as DVDs. Mm-hmm. So it's great fun.
Again, I endorse everything you're saying, and I'm also delighted to see that the College Library and the Astoria Library are working together on this, because that's what we need to do. We don't, you know, as with all the arts, we need to cooperate and not compete with one another.
Exactly.
So that's excellent. So again, this is happening this coming Thursday, the 6th, 3 to 5 at the College Library, and you just drive all the way up. This is the way I tell people, just drive all the way up 16th and then take a left and then find your parking down below or up above.
Right.
And you can't miss it. And then at 6:30 to 8 is at the Performing Arts Center, Support the PAC, and that is 16th and Franklin. And are there any charges for any of these? You don't need
all events are free.
All of this is free to the community. Folks, take advantage, and it sounds like it's all age as well. And then again on Friday is 6 to 8. For the after hours at Astoria Library. Erica Moen and Jeff Parker.
And I will add quickly there, Carol, that Bucko is really great work, but it may not be suitable for all ages because it has some adult mature content in it.
It says a comical murder mystery. I'm thinking, holy cow, Bucko. All right.
Portland style.
Portland style.
Say no
okay,
more.
So focus Thursday for the family, Friday for... the adults. Okay, very good. I'm delighted to see this happening, and I hope there'll be more events. Do you think there'll be more events coming up?
We would love to have more people become friends of the College Library.
How does one become a friend of the College Library?
They can either contact Candace directly at the library or come to one of these events, and or all of these events, and we'll have sign-up sheets.
Great.
Yeah.
And Candace, do you have a phone number up there or an email? What's the best way to contact you?
Sure thing.
You?
Phone number is 503-338-2460.
Okay.
And my email is cwatkins@clatsopcc.edu.
Yeah, that one. The Clatsop one. Well, wonderful. And I'm looking forward. I haven't seen the library since it's gone through its evolution revolution. So I'm looking forward to that, too. Again, this is our library. And folks, if you're listening in Nova Scotia or in... who knows, Barbados, then you too can come and check out our library.
Why not?
It's open to all.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for doing this, and thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Carol.
Candace
thanks, Carol.
Watkins, Director of Clatsop Community College Library, and Lori Kaplan, a friend of the college library. Excellent. Okay. And I'm going to bring you some more of that beautiful Paco de Lucía music, and then bring in my next guests. You're listening to KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook. Paco de Lucia, who left us at the age of 66, and you'll be hearing more of his music right here on Coast Community Radio, where we try to play the best of the best, and he is. Right now, I have a guest who is came up from Nehalem, Manzanita Wheeler, what do you call it?
I call it Tri-Villages.
Tri-Village, okay, that's what I call it. So we've been communicating back and forth because Glenna Gray is my guest, and she has put together an event. It started off, I thought, as an art show, but it has grown into this all-day event, and this is happening on Saturday the 8th. That's a week from tomorrow at the NCRD, which is the North County Recreation District. Okay, up here everything is North Coast, right? Right, it's a different county, right? Right. And it kind of relates back to what my first guest, Ruth Feldman, was talking about, figuring out, finding your voice, and figuring out how you can heal the world, your community, your family, yourself. And in Hebrew, we call that tikkun olam. And olam is the world, and it can have many, many meanings. And it is in Ruth's book a lot. So I didn't do this on purpose, perfect. But I love that, you know, that you're both. So Glenna Gray, you do not come from a Jewish background. Where did you find this tikkun olam concept?
No, a friend of mine in New Mexico had a tikkun olam art show. And in December, when I was getting real discouraged about the state of the earth, it just came up, and I was asking myself what I can do to help heal the world. And then I asked myself, what do I do? Mm-hmm. Which is, I do art shows, and I've been an arts advocate for years. And then, like, the next day, our local art gallery called and said, do you want to have a show?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and I went,
whoa,
oh,
talk
I guess
about cosmic.
This is a sign, yes.
Yeah.
So it did originally begin as just an art show, and then I didn't want to leave musicians out.
Of course
or
not.
Actors or any of the other talented people around this area. So, and then other people got involved, and it grew even more. So now we've got a whole range of activities. Starting on Friday night, the 7th, we're having a fire ceremony to heal the waters of the world the end of Lanita in Manzanita at 6:30. And then Saturday, the events start at 12, but you can come a little early and help decorate for the ritual at 12, which includes storytelling and costumes, et cetera. From 2 to 4, we're having a panel discussion on ideas of how to heal the world.
Now, are you leading that? Or?
No, I have a friend who's volunteered to take that over with more experience.
Well, it looks like a lot of people have gotten involved. I mean,
it really has.
I'm getting emails from all these different folks. I'm going, wow, this has just grown. And
yeah, it has.
Wonderful.
And then at 6 o'clock, there's the art show opening, which I just keep hearing more and more. We're taking in, doing the intake for the art show on Sunday from 1 to 4. So if you have art to contribute on the theme of healing the world, you're welcome still.
And that's at the NCRD. If you happen to live up here in Astoria and you have a piece that you know would be right for healing the world, and in this particular exhibit sounds like your focus is healing the earth.
Yes.
Because tikkun olam is everything.
Broader,
you know, it's yeah. But so if you're here, you can zip right over to the station right now while Glenn is here, and she will take it with her. You did pick up some art today.
I did. I picked up four pieces for the show.
Wow, good, good. So some of our Astoria artists have contributed to this as well, but it sounds like it's going to be a magnificent show.
I think so.
Yeah.
So I'm really
and
excited.
Then, after the opening of the show, art show, you're having
The performances, which we have many musicians, an actress who's going to do some readings, a juggler.
Not just any actor. This is Liz Cole. We know
Liz
her.
Cole. Oh, good.
On this station, we know her.
She
does
amazing.
Wonderful.
A juggler and a dancer.
Okay. So did this, did you expect this to happen, for this to kind of explode like
that? Not really. I was totally focused on the art show. Yeah. And then people got so excited. It's a very
timely topic, obviously.
Well, it is timely, and yet when we think about it, it's always and forever. It's, you know, and the beauty is that there are so many people in our area who do have this passion for tikkun olam, for healing the world, and whatever that means to an individual, however one can express oneself. And but I didn't think you did, because when you wrote me the first time, it was you know, very specific. You know, you're gonna and I'm like, wow, it
keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Well, you've got a fantastic community in the three villages and that whole area, North Tillamook County, probably the rest of Tillamook as well. But lots of good things happen there. So, is all of it? No, all of it is not happening at North County Recreation District, because the
only thing is that's elsewhere is the fire ceremony on Friday night.
Oh, okay.
At the end of Lanita.
So this
on the beach.
So the talk and Saturday afternoon and
it's
the
all at North
ceremony
Coast
is all right there.
Right.
And tell us where that is. What street's that on for people?
It's as you come through Nehalem, you'll see Wanda's Cafe on the north side of 101. You turn left there and go up the hill, and the North Coast Recreation District is right behind Wanda's.
Okay. Okay, so if you don't know what we're talking about, when you get to Nehalem, ask anybody.
Yes.
Everybody knows. It's a tiny place, and everybody will know it. So, well, I want to give you a great big mazel tov for putting this together. It really warms my heart that you're creating this and that others have joined in and allowing this spirit to grow and to give people a place for expression. That's the main thing. And there is.
I was talking to a friend last night, and he asked, "Well, so do you feel better now?" And I kind of do, just because I'm doing what I can.
Yes, and also you're doing it in community.
Yes,
yeah. Having all these people come together, it gives us. It's always that's the beauty of living in areas that we live in here, where it's small, and we do come together. We have to. To survive and thrive. So.
Yes.
Okay, so again, this is Saturday, March 8th. Starts Friday night at the end of Lanita in Manzanita. You know, I never heard it said that way. I say it often, but I never put it together. That's cute. And Lanita is the main street that runs right through Manzanita. And for the fire ceremony on Friday night. And then Saturday, you can show up at any time during the day, starting at noon, you say, or a little before noon?
A little before noon.
And then any time onward for the afternoon and the evening. Yeah. And this is all age also, of course.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And
well,
the art show will be up all month, the
Month
of March.
Oh,
so
good, good, good.
If you can't make it to the opening, like,
okay,
you can
great.
Still visit it.
Thank you so much, Glenna, for
doing
this
for
coming
me.
To Astoria to pick up art here and to be on KMUN Radio.
It's been
have you been
delight.
On KMUN before?
I have once a long time ago for an art show.
Okay. Okay, great. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And that is, again, the North Tillamook folks in Manzanita, Nehalem, and Wheeler. Glenna Gray, my guest, putting it together. And I have a couple of last guests, and they're both representing different aspects of things going on at Astoria High School. So I'm bringing them in together, but you'll get a chance to hear each of them. And going to put on some of the music, the drumming that you will hear from the Astoria High School Band and lots of bands. And the band director, Scott Cuthbert, is here to tell us about that event, which is the same day as the Tikkun Olam event. This is another way to heal the world through music, of course. And then we have Marcus Brown, who is directing a play that is opening tonight. All I really need to know, I learned in kindergarten, didn't I? Sure. Here's some drums for you. KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook. being a percussionist myself, I play washboard, you know.
good for you.
I am really enjoying what I'm hearing. And this, who is this playing?
That's the Astoria Percussion Ensemble.
This is the Astoria
group.
This
is one of the groups that will be performing a weekend after this at the Astoria Winter Showcase.
How old are these
I've got kids from 7th grade up through 12th grade in this group. So
they sound wonderful. They
yeah,
really
doing
sound
okay.
Yeah. So you're the band director in both schools, then the middle school and the high school?
Yep,
that's how we do it around here, don't we?
So
this is, as I mentioned, this is March 8th, also Saturday. It's a winter showcase. But I understand there's people coming from all over the place to be part of this.
What's the story here? And we've got groups, the NWAPA.
What is that?
The Northwest Association for the Performing Arts. It's geared towards the marching arts, though, frankly. I think the name's a little bit of a misnomer, but it involves groups from as far south as Northern California, as far east as into Idaho, and as far north as Seattle. And we've got some groups coming down from Washington. We've got some groups coming from over in the Portland area. And there are all kinds of different levels there. It's a very small show as far as these go. I'm going to go to a show tomorrow in Vancouver where there will be probably four times as many groups, and it'll start at 8 in the morning and get done at about 11 at night, and with constant train of performers. Yeah, and the judges will be paid well, because, boy, will they be tired by the end of that. But the show we're going to have here has about six guard units and six percussion units. And there's two specific areas they're going to demonstrate. Now, the guard units are focused on dance.
Now you're talking.
Yeah.
That's my
dance is very cool. And they do their bit to canned music. It's very creative. They paint floors. They use props. But it's more than just dance. They use equipment like flags, rifles, sabers, those kinds of things, and other kinds of things.
So these are men and women dancing.
Men and women, both in these kinds of groups. And then there's the percussion groups. There'll be about six of those of varying degrees. Our Astoria Percussion Ensemble is a concert ensemble, but we do have a color guard that will be going along with our concert percussion ensemble. There are some marching ensembles, and they will do an audio-visual presentation. So the drummers will be moving around on the floor, and they also paint floors and have props and use equipment.
Hold it. You keep saying paint floors. I can't believe anyone's going to let you paint the floor of the gymnasium in the high school.
You don't paint the floor, actually. We use tarps. And we paint tarps, and we use all kinds of things, much like a play would use to give backdrops, places for people to appear from and disappear behind.
Oh.
I think the best way to visualize it would be to go to the band's website, www.astoriabands.com. Astoria Bands is plural, and it's one word.
Mm-hmm.
If you go there, you can probably find our YouTube channel, or you can and look at some videos. You can see the marching band. That's one of the things that we're excited about, is bringing a performance by the Astoria ensembles, an actual competition to Astoria. We're going out of town all the time, but this one's actually in town.
You know, except for those people who are band mamas and papas, or neighbors or uncles and whatever. A lot of people have no idea this is going on.
Sure,
and
that's why we're here talking.
That's right, that's why we're here talking. And you can also take a look at the back page of the Coast Weekend, which has a big, and that's why when you said dance, I went, whoop, oh yeah, there is a photograph. But this takes a lot of discipline.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. The kids are very dedicated to this. It takes hours and hours. It takes years of preparation to learn any musical instrument.
Sure.
People don't realize sometimes how much work those kids are putting into it. Doesn't just happen.
Yeah.
And then this is extra on top of them. When you start incorporating body movements and then props and such, there'll be judged performances. There's a preliminary and a finals competition. And it's going to be exciting. The most exciting aspect of it is the Oregon Crusaders indoor ensembles. We have some Olympics level kids coming to Astoria. The last part of this show involves some people that have placed in the top groups at the World Championships for the last 2 years, and they are, I tell you, you will be amazed. If you're into drumming, or if you're just curious, please come watch these guys. They're so amazing. We're so lucky to have them here in town. Well, and also make sure you go to the website and check out the drum line. See if you can find a piece called Window Seat, and then you can see what these floor paintings are like.
Okay.
And what our kids look like when they're doing a visual ensemble.
Okay, now I'm talking with Scott Cuthbert, who is obviously an inspiration for these kids, because you can hear him. He loves this stuff. And do you play percussion?
Oh, of course. Well, I'm band director, so I'm kind of have to play all
better.
Of it. You know?
Yeah, you bet. Okay. Did you grow, when you were growing up, did you have any of this kind of stuff?
Sure. Yeah. I was a member of some very high level ensembles, the Santa Clara Vanguard Snare Line. I'm very proud to have been in. And
this has been
Blue
going
Devils.
On all over the country forever.
We were 10th, a tenth of a point away from being the world champions back in the days. I won't say the year; it's too very long ago.
Not really, dear. you're talking to the wrong person to say that.
Well.
But it's very exciting, and it's wonderful to know that we have this going on at our Astoria High School. Are there any other high schools in this area that are doing the band, marching band stuff?
No, not at all.
Okay.
That's a unique thing to Astoria High.
Right. This is Clatsop County, Astoria High, so you can be from anywhere. Now, my other guest, and I'm not letting Scott go, I'm keeping his mic open. My other guest is Marcus Brown. Marcus is not teaching at the high school, but he has been to high school at some point in your life, I'm presuming. Yes.
I think so.
For better and worse. Did you ever play an instrument?
No.
Okay. But Marcus is one of our fabulous thespians in this community. And I understand this is you're having a virgin experience at Astoria High School. You are going to direct.
I have.
You have directed.
I have directed.
Oh, my God. It's opening tonight.
It is opening night.
It's opening night tonight.
For 2 months, I've been in toil with young high school students learning the arts of theater.
That's fantastic. Mm. Now, did you work with young people at the Astor Street Opry as well?
Minimally. Not,
okay,
not
mostly
like
adults.
This. Mostly adults, but some teens. But this is my first experience with high school students in a full production.
And the production is All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. Can you tell us, and that's Robert Fulghum?
The gentleman who wrote the original novel, which was on the best-selling list for eons, is a collection of life experiences, life experiences Mr. Fulghum experienced.
Right.
Throughout his life, and so he wrote about them and things regarding working together collectively, embracing death, appreciating life, escaping in music, and how to overcome the rigors of life, basically. There's 23 scenes originally. We parsed it down to 18, which is still a lot.
A lot.
There's a lot of monologues, a lot of narration, a lot of character-driven performance.
How many students do
there
you
are
have?
Eight players, but there are
oh,
dozens
my goodness.
Of roles.
Oh, yeah.
And it's clearly. A, like I said, it's a two-act full production of the novel. If you've read the novel, you will recognize everything in all of its glory and splendor. And we added a lot of flourish. We added plenty of music. I got Mick Alderman to design my lights, so it'll be...
Good move.
Well, that's how I do it.
Yeah.
You know, it makes me look better. But the lighting is
the kids
really
deserve
good.
It too.
Yes, they do, and they have worked awfully hard. You will be amazed at the depth of character and the wisdom that they will perform.
Are they advanced students or they're all?
I have some of all.
So you do.
Yeah,
okay.
My freshmen and sophomores and juniors and seniors.
Wow.
And they have been working amazingly together. They help one another. Yeah.
This is something that both of you, you know, are talking about. These are students not only working on their craft and their art, but also working together.
Yes, and then
they have to.
Yes,
they
yes,
have
they
to,
do.
Or it messes everything up, whether it's,
I think this applies to you as well. I think, I always say that band is the most team sport there could be, because there is no bench, and everyone's got to do their part. And they're indispensable. Mm-hmm. So you've got to have every actor on their spot on time and nailing their lines. And
yeah,
it's the same for music.
You hope, and then you train them all so that the show must go on. And if somebody misses a line, you need to come up with how to. It's problem solving,
right?
It's about critical thinking, problem solving. Again, that's what the arts are about,
right?
As much as fun and entertainment and beauty,
exploring their own inner joys, demons, everything, and trying to communicate those.
Yeah.
That's really something to watch that get brought out.
And
of the kids. It's fun.
And this particular plays with the stories actually gives articulation to some of the things that maybe young people haven't figured out yet. So
correct.
They've learned, I bet.
Yes, much of this play involves subject matter. I'm sure none of these kids have, but they've been able to extrapolate from other experiences to bring a quality and depth of performance that everyone is going to appreciate. This is not your normal high school production. This is out of the park.
Astoria High School has been known to, with Jenny Newton there, has been known to do some extraordinary things. We're so thrilled that we have
indeed
this going on. How is it for you working with young people?
It's been amazing. It's a nice breath of fresh air to go to a rehearsal where everyone is excited to be there to get to work. Typically, adults, not so much all the time, but their energy level is exhilarating, and it's wild. I go there with anticipation, and I leave there in exhaustion. It's marvelous.
wonderful. Mm-hmm. Is it an after-school
It is an after-school program, part of the Astoria Theater Program. Directed by Jenny. I'm her pitch hitter, so to speak, as a director. I've come in to take on this show, and there'll be another guest director for the next production.
Oh, good. And that's good for the kids, too, to experience.
It is. They should work with as many directors as they possibly can.
I got what it's like. Now, did they have to audition for this?
They did audition, and it was vigorous.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of competition.
Good.
And but everybody got cast. Yeah. I was able to stretch it out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like it's going to be fabulous. Now, it opens tonight, and here's the trick, folks. You better get your pens out because the schedule is a little bizarre. Mm. It is tonight and tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Next weekend, it is not Friday night, but it is Saturday night at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 2 p.m. And then the third weekend, we're back to Friday night at 7 p.m. And that's it. So there are, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 opportunities. Is that right?
Six. In total.
Okay.
These kids are also advanced choir singers. They are in Port City singing. They are also prepping for school. As far as college goes, I have three seniors, two of which are going to Portland State. So they're so busy doing other things. This was the best way to work it. But this show will leave you wanting more.
Great. Well, thank you, Marcus, for stepping up to the plate and taking a chance, because this was new for you. And finding out it's a good thing.
It was my pleasure, believe me.
Yeah. And Scott obviously knows that. How long have you been working with youngsters?
Oh, my gosh. all my life, I've worked with youngsters in one capacity or another. This is my 11th year as a teacher.
Here at Astoria?
But I've been an adjunct faculty writing music and coordinating groups for many, many, many years.
Okay. You just mentioned what my last question was going to be. What do you do for your own music creation?
I write. These days, what I do is I write original productions. We do all original productions here in Astoria, and it's very unique. One I'm particularly proud of, and you could also see on our YouTube channel, is we did Johnny Rebeck's Machine with one of the great actors who's gone on to major in music, Derek Watson. He just left us recently. And we based the entire show around a song my father sang to me when I was a child, yeah. Johnny Rebeck's Machine. I could hum it for you.
Yeah, but that's all right. We're
we didn't use any of that melody. But the concept, and, mm-hmm. and we have unique aspects here in Astoria. We have a very small band. We were able to hide them all in a box. We made it a machine.
Oh,
we put all
God.
Kinds of whiz, lights and whirring noises off of it, and uh-huh. they appeared outside uh-huh. of it. And the long story short, the machines go haywire a little bit, and then they go evil, and then they turn Derek, who is the mad scientist, into a machine like themselves, and they are trying to
Oh, that sounds like a good plot for the kids, too. We're out of time here, but let's just recap here. You just heard Scott Cuthbert. The fair there is next Saturday, the 8th. And what's the timing on that? It starts at 11 a.m., is that right? Or
At 11 a.m., we'll start the preliminary competition.
Oh, okay.
At 2 o'clock, I believe, we'll begin the finals competition. If uh-huh. you just wanted to see the finals, you might want to segue right into that play right afterwards.
There you go.
Because you'll have just enough time to go and grab some dinner at the concessions booth.
Perfect.
There at our show and head on over to see the play. So I suggest next Saturday.
Sounds fantastic. There you go. So yours is going to be in the gymnasium at Astoria High School.
Yes, this all occurs indoors in the gymnasium.
Okay.
Nice and warm.
And
and dry.
My other guest is Marcus Brown, who has been directing the Astoria High School Thespians with All I Really Need to Know. I learned in kindergarten, and it is opening tonight. So, but that sounds like a great idea. If you're going to think about it for next week, take the whole day. Take the whole day and spend it over at the high school. Congratulations to both of you for doing terrific work. And especially Marcus, I just want to say thank you because, you know, this is outside your comfort level, probably. You had no idea what you would do walking into.
I have children.
Oh, well, never mind then. Forget about it.
But no, it's been a great and benefiting experience.
Yeah. Well, thanks. And this is Astoria High School. Go!